Up WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Donald Trump's lawyer argues in favor of presidential immunity before the U.S. Supreme Court.
For 234 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts. The framers of our Constitution viewed an energetic executive as essential to securing liberty.
Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson questioning John Sauer.
I don't understand how the president stands in any different position with respect to the need to follow the law as he is doing his job than anyone else.
He is required to follow the law.
Justice Amy Coney Barrett.
One could say that when the president is using the trappings of his office to achieve a personal gain, then he's actually not acting officially.
A decision stands to affect the delayed federal election case against Trump and other criminal prosecutions against him as well. CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin says UW-Platteville will vacate its Richland Center branch campus on July 1st. Local officials say they were caught by surprise. Senator Kelda Royce spoke about state support for the UW system at a forum in Muscadet this week.
State support for the universities has in my lifetime gone from just under half of the revenue that they get to between 11 and 15%.
The UW has closed 5 2-year branch campuses in a year and a half. Donald Trump is coming back to Wisconsin next week. Trump is set to speak in Waukesha next Wednesday. The Republican is on trial for 34 felony counts of falsifying business records to cover up a sex scandal. Trump has a narrow lead over President Biden in the latest Marquette poll. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Barron County company will be laying off nearly 40 employees as it ends its hatchery operations over the next 2 months. Genio announced that they would no longer be harvesting turkeys at their Barron plant and has submitted a notice to the Department of Workforce Development regarding the layoffs. According to a statement from the company, they've entered an agreement with a Minnesota-based hatchery, which will supply a percentage of their turkeys. The company hopes the agreement offers more efficiency. The Eau Claire City Council voted on a resolution to disallow a claim filed against the city regarding an officer-involved shooting in 2022. The claim was filed by Clayton Livingston for an incident in 2022 where he allegedly pointed a gun at police at his home before being shot. The disallowing of the claim does not prohibit Livingston from going forward with a lawsuit against the city, but does shorten the amount of time he has to move forward with it. Livingston will now have 6 months to file the lawsuit when he receives the notice. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers win a sloppy game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. There were errors and bad plays from both the crew and the Pirates, but the Brewers held on for a 3-2 win at PNC Park. In the ninth inning, Joey Weimer missed catching a pop fly to shallow left after a mix-up with shortstop Willy Adames. Manager Pat Murphy, not happy.
If the left fielder gets involved and opens his mouth, it's his ball. 100%. I don't know exactly what happened, but I know that Weimer was right there to catch it. So if you're right there to catch it, you catch it. Willie did everything right there, and Weimer let it drop. So it's his error.
NBA, the Bucks and Indy getting ready for game 3 against the Pacers. That playoff series tied up one game apiece. The tip-off time, 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. NFL draft tonight. The Packers with the 25th pick overall in the first round. Many experts think Green Bay will take defensive back Cooper DeJean from Iowa. Is he a safety or a corner?
I think he can do both. I think he's very versatile that way. His ability to take the ball away is very impressive.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A high-pressure system continues to sit overhead today, keeping us happy under sunny skies and highs soaring to the mid-60s. Winds begin to get a little feisty tonight as showers and thunderstorms strike us tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, Sandy Williams will be here for our regular conversation. We'll talk about the overlooked accomplishments of the Biden administration and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is Thursday, April 25th, 2024, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, outstanding producer and engineer. From high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, welcome into the big show. It is a sunny day, Mr. Zommers, here in the Capital City.
That it is. Quite sunny, quite toasty. Okay, I guess it's not that toasty.
We're inside of the toaster.
That's true. It is. It's warm in studio here.
We have these beautiful south-facing windows, which we love, but it does get slightly warm. But that's okay. We're happy to be. I'd much rather have it like this than freezing, you know?
I'm the opposite.
I know. You run a little hot. No, it's still a nice day outside. Sunny today. Looks like some wet weather for much of Wisconsin tomorrow. Much needed, I might add. We're still in a drought, believe it or not. So some well-needed moisture between tomorrow through the weekend. And then it looks like next week, 60s and 70s. So how about that?
Damn, that's toasty.
It's a little toasty. I'm ready for it. I'm absolutely ready for it, the nice weather. Hopefully you are having a nice day wherever you are. If you're taking us along on a walk during your lunch hour, maybe sitting in the car or at your desk or just at home, on the farm, wherever you are, thank you so much for taking us along on a Thursday today. Big show today. Awaiting, we're going to bring you some live coverage here in just under 10 minutes as we're awaiting live just up the street here at the state capitol. And I'm going to give a huge shout out to the Wisconsin State Senate Democrats. Why, you might ask? Because one of their members, Kelda Royce, represents much of the city of Madison here, went out on Monday to southwest Wisconsin, little village of Muscadet, just south of Richland Center, Richland County, along with her colleague from the Assembly, State Representative Katrina Shanklin. We brought you some of those comments yesterday, and Senator Royce was live here on the program yesterday as well. And they went out and listened to about 100 citizens in southwest Wisconsin on higher education. And I think they heard some things that they weren't aware of before. And here's the great thing about legislators who do their job. They go and they truly listen. They don't just show up and sit there and then, yeah, I'm here, I'm present, but I really don't care what you say. And there are people that do that, elected officials. But Kelda Royce and Katrina Shanklin went and actually listened to citizens about the UW system. And then Senator Royce showed up on this program yesterday and was forthright, answered some tough questions, some direct questions from me, fair questions. And then later yesterday afternoon, after showing up and listening to citizens, the Senate Democrats put forth a press advisory, media advisory, And in just a few minutes, they are going to be holding the Senate Democratic leadership a press conference here at around quarter after of this hour, just up the street at the state capitol. And they'll respond to this recent report from the University of Wisconsin-Platteville and UW System that they are vacating the Richland County campus. We're expecting Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein, Senate Caucus Chair Chris Larson, Joint Finance Member Senator Kelda Royce, and Democratic candidate for the 14th Senate District, Sarah Kayeski, or Kayeski, I believe it's pronounced, Kayeski. And I give them a lot of credit. And this all stems from what happened overnight, or late afternoon into the night on Monday. While Senator Royce and Katrina Shanklin, Representative Shanklin, were in Muscogee, I was there along with our news director from WRCO, WRCE, Joanne Krulatz, reporting on this, listening to citizens. While this was going on, UW System, who now goes by Universities of Wisconsin, the Vice President of University Relations, Jeff Berant, sent a letter to the Richland County Board of Supervisors, two-pager. And the county put out a release immediately thereafter. The county said this, quote, "Richland County is dismayed and disheartened to share the correspondence received from the Universities of Wisconsin today, despite ongoing attempts to negotiate a mutually agreeable end to our partnership. The Universities of Wisconsin has made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the Richland County campus by July 1st of this year with no compensation or settlement agreement in place," unquote. It does go on from there. The point is that, and anybody who follows this show knows, we've been on it since nearly day one of a year and a half ago, when Jay Rothman, the president of the system, decided without ever going out to Richland County, without ever talking to anyone, that he was going to close the two-year campus at Richland, which is now a branch campus of UW-Platteville, the four-year. And he blamed it on low enrollment. But of course, he never addressed the question that I and other people had, many people, that the private foundation at Richland, with private dollars, around $3 million cash on hand, offered System and Platteville a $600,000 check to hire their own recruiter because the recruiter at Richland had retired. And Platteville and System said no. And no one to this day has ever answered the question, why? Why didn't they allow it? Because if you don't have a recruiter, it's no wonder your enrollment goes down. Now, more recently, the legislature passed and the governor signed into law allocations of up to $2 million per community that go through these closures. There are now five, including Richland. But you have to understand that this $2 million that these communities get once their campuses are closed are a pittance. In Richland County, for example, the campus there, Bent Economic Studies, shows that the campus is responsible for somewhere approximately between $6 and $7 million of economic impact. So $2 million is not enough to sustain these in transition. We're not here to argue whether Richland campus is going to close. It's done. This is about protecting taxpayers, in this case, at Richland County, and saying, now that the county has to take over these buildings and pay for the utilities, heat, water, lights, insurance, upkeep, maintenance, for a rural county that's already economically struggling. And so Senate Democrats were watching the feed live. Mr. Zomer's doing yeoman's work, as always, on the engineering side. Wisconsin Eye, by the way, let me put a plug in for Wisconsin Eye. It's a bit self-serving. My former boss, State Senator Dale Schultz, when he was the Senate Majority Leader, helped sign this agreement in a bipartisan fashion to establish Wisconsin Eye. Governor Doyle, Democrat, signed it into law. It is Wisconsin's version of C-SPAN. It's available on many cable and satellite companies. It's also available online. You can find it at WISEye, that's WISEye. E-Y-E, WISEye.org, WISEye.org. And what you see there is much like C-SPAN at the congressional level. You see all the floor sessions, and you see many of these political or legislative meetings or press conferences that get held. There's no political partisan agenda at Wisconsin Eye. It's supported largely by private donations. You can make a donation yourself by going to wiseye.org, O-R-G, W-I-S-E-Y-E, wiseorg, wiseye, rather, .org, wiseye.org. That's Wisconsin Eye. It is a great treasure, and we don't talk about it enough, Wisconsin Eye. So we're awaiting where it's outside, by the way, because technically this is a campaign event because the campaign arm of the Senate Democrats are hosting this, and it includes their candidate for the 7th, pardon me, used to be part of the 17th, now part of the 14th state Senate district, currently held by Republican Joan Baldwin. The Democratic candidate is Sarah Kayeski, who, by the way, was at that forum in Muscogee on Monday night. So we're waiting now. It looks like people are starting to come to the podium. We're monitoring that. We see Senator Chris Larson from Racine, Kenosha area down there, state senator, who is the chair of the caucus. We see Diane Hesselbein, who is the Democratic leader now. I believe former Democratic leader. She's still a state senator. She is running for Dane County Executive. Melissa Agard also appears to be there on the steps of the Capitol. Joint Finance Member Kelda Royce and Democratic candidate for the 14th District, Sarah Kayeski. They're kind of gearing up there. Beautiful day, by the way, for a press conference outside. We're just hoping the wind isn't too awful strong so that we can bring you this audio live. And again, people would say, well, geez, Todd, you're a little biased. You're from Richland County. Your grandmother was the first woman dean in Wisconsin at UW-Richland. That is true. But remember, there are or were 13 two-year campuses across the state. And this same thing that happened at Richland could be coming to you. I'm going to go now. It appears that Diane Hesselbein is coming to the microphone. We're going to go to that audio now if we can take that, Mr. Zomers.
Good afternoon. I'm State Senator Diane Hesselbein. Really glad that you're here with us today. Today, I'm here with my colleagues to draw attention to and respond to troubling breaking news that made headlines yesterday. UW-Platteville will close its Richland County campus on July 1st. The impacts of this are going to be huge. It will hurt our students and their education and the university system as a whole and the Richland County local economy, where local officials have already warned of an impending economic crisis when this happens. It is not lost on me, and it should not be lost on the people in the state of Wisconsin, that there is a direct line from what we're seeing happening in Richland County to the continued underfunding of our UW system, especially since 2011. And Republicans like Senator Joan Baldwin are to blame. Senator Baldwin and her Republican colleagues have cut the university system significantly in 2011 and in 2013, and by $250 million in 2015. And we're still seeing the effects of those devastating cuts. Senator Baldwin and her Republican colleagues have the power to do something about this. They can show up and get to work for the constituents that they are supposed to represent, but instead, they are missing in action. Voters in the 14th Senate District should take note. If Joan Baldwin is not going to show up for you, you should not show up for Joan Baldwin. Now I want to introduce you to the next senator from the 14th Senate District, our Democratic candidate, Sarah Kayeski.
Thank you so much, Senator Hesselbein. The people of the 14th Senate District deserve to have...
Stay tuned, folks. We do have to take a quick break. We're up against the clock. Can't help that. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Don't go anywhere. More from this conference in 60 seconds.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
We are back live. We're going to go to the state capitol. Just outside the state capitol, the Wisconsin Senate Democratic Committee is continuing a live press conference, picking up with Sarah Kayeski, candidate for the Senate District 14, talking about the closure of the UW-Richland campus in southwest Wisconsin.
For petty political squabbles, we need legislators who will stick up for our rural students and keep these essential educational institutions afloat. Now more than ever, we need a legislator that is going to work with the UW system to try and compensate Richland County for the millions of dollars in investments they've made into that campus that all of a sudden, overnight, are lost. I'm running to fight for the people of the 14th Senate District and as a strong advocate for our public schools in rural areas. This is important to me because I am a product of rural public schools and a mother of six, and I know the importance of good public school education. My commitment as a future legislator is to show up for all students in the 14th District and ensure that they have every opportunity to succeed. We must have a state senator that steps up for our rural communities in situations like this, and sadly, my opponent is not doing that. And now I'll pass it over to Senator Chris Larson.
Here is sitting you, Wisconsin State Senator Chris Larson from the southeast Wisconsin.
You do a great job. It's going to be a great senator. I'm Chris Larson, state senator, and have the privilege of serving as the ranking member of the Senate Committee on Universities and Revenue. I want to echo some of the same sentiments by Senator Hesselbein and by Sarah with a few more facts to back up some of our claims. Republicans in the legislature, like Senator Ballwag, have been defunding our colleges and universities for decades. And just to put it in perspective, in 1984, state funding made up 41.7% of UW system revenues. But by last year, it had fallen all the way to 18%, less than half of what it used to be. Students' share at that same time went from 13.9% up to 24% over that same time span. So with numbers like that and the massive rise in student debt, it's no wonder enrollment has been plummeting. Unfortunately, Senator Ballwag has not been paying attention to this and has just blown a hole in Richland County's local economy. She's gone after the paychecks of thousands of employees and our larger UW system as a whole. Just this past session, she and her colleagues held up $32 million in operating funding, pay increases for nearly half of all state employees, and hundreds of millions in necessary capital improvements, including for the UW-Madison Engineering Building, holding up that $32 million just to wage a culture war. Republicans in the legislature, unfortunately, were focused more on scoring political points by perpetuating that culture war than on investing in the bedrock universities that Wisconsin is built around. She has spent the better part of the last decade chipping away at our Wisconsin colleges, and this latest decision to close the Richland campus falls directly at Joan Ballweg's feet. Joan sits on Joint Finance and on the Universities and Revenue Committee. She had the unique ability in those positions to get something done to save the universities, but she did not. And I hope the voters in Richland County and the rest of the 14th Senate District note of who did this and choose a smarter path come this November. And with that, I pass it on to my colleague on that committee, Senator Kelda Royce.
Let's see, live coverage of the Wisconsin State Senate Democratic Committee outside the Capitol on the closing of UW Richland.
This is a really important story that has been decades in the making. When Republicans like Joan Baulig show up to work, they do harm to the communities they represent. Year after year and budget after budget, they have underinvested in public education and especially in our universities of Wisconsin system. And that underinvestment has led directly to the closure of not only the UW campus at Richland Center, but also of five of these two-year campuses, cutting off the educational opportunities and the economic benefits for tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents in all those regions. We should be opening up pathways to higher education for young people and for all people around the state instead of closing them down. We started the last budget cycle with $7 billion in surplus. We still have over $3 billion sitting in the bank. And yet for public higher education, for the University of Wisconsin, not only did they not get an inflationary increase, they got a real dollar cut. And it is because of the votes of Joan Baulig and other Republicans like her, turning their backs on the communities that they are supposed to stand up for. But the interesting thing is, when Senator Baulig doesn't show up for work, she also harms her community. This is a trend and a pattern. When Wisconsinites needed $140 million to help address PFAS contamination and the health effects, Joan Baulig didn't show up. When Western Wisconsin hospitals were reeling from the closures of critical care facilities and had to shut their doors, and the legislature was able to provide $15 million in relief, Joan Baulig did not show up to make sure that money got out the door. Instead, we know that she didn't show up for the Joint Finance Committee to take those votes. She was grabbing lobbyist cash in D.C. to fuel her reelection campaign. Make no mistake, Senator Baulig is responsible, along with her Republican colleagues, for the closures that are being faced in Richland Center and around the state. Her damaging votes made it clear that this is the beginning and not the end of the unnecessary and manufactured financial challenges that our campuses around the state are facing. But even worse than the votes that she has taken is her absolute refusal to be accountable to the voters that she hopes to represent. She doesn't yet live in the 14th district. She says she's going to move there, but I don't know how any voter can possibly trust that she will show up for them and have their best interests at heart, or even listen to their perspective, if she won't show up for them now when she already has the job. Residents of the 14th Senate District deserve better, and when Sarah Kieski is elected in November, they will have better. Thank you so much. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions?
Curious your thoughts on the university's decision to vacate that property. Obviously,
they have for... Question is, thoughts on the university's decision to close the two-year campuses, I believe, and also the funding. And it looks like Senator Royce is going to take that answer.
Yeah, so one of the things that's really concerning is that local leaders really did not have advance notice. This letter just showed up. And obviously it leads to a huge economic hole for the counties that own these facilities and for Richland County. And, you know, the economic loss of the people who no longer have jobs at that facility, but also the inability of the community to make use of those buildings the way that they have historically. So this is a significant problem. And the legislature hasn't even begun to reckon with the financial impact that this is going to have on those local communities and the local governments who are now left holding the bag because the universities had to close those campuses. And again, you know, this is a direct result of the legislature's fiscal harm to campuses for years and years.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being here.
All right. And that has concluded this press conference by the Wisconsin State Senate Democratic Committee. We're going to come back and discuss this. A bit more political, I'll be honest with you, than was billed. And I look, there's a lot to unpack here, quite frankly. A lot to unpack. You know, you might say, well, why were they targeting Joan Baulig when she, you know, we'll explain it all we get back. There was some truth there. We'll suss that out. But it's not all one-sided on the responsibility game. We'll come back, discuss it all. Don't worry.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Volatility in dairy. It's not a new conversation that we're having, but the latest up and down motion that we've seen on Class 3 milk prices, as we know, does dictate what our cheese folks are doing. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Bryce Windecker, broker analyst with EverEgg, says that this all ties together and shares where the appetite is for cheese and butter.
Class 3 milk has ripped upward $3 in May from the recent low set this past April. We went from a low of 1563 all the way up to 1838 the other day. Finally got some cheese exports off nearby here. Nothing long term, but definitely cleared the market for the time being. We're actually starting to hear of some cheese manufacturers in the West and Southwest short of some milk and had to actually short some traders. And now we're seeing those traders come to the CME spot trade and running up our cheap cheese price.
That was Bryce Windecker, broker analyst with EverEgg. If you're looking to get a hold of him or get some advice, go to ever.egg and you'll have a whole list of people ready to help you. I've got your midday markets right after this.
Just in time for the grilling season, Bavaria Sausage expanding their retail hours. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, fresh off a visit to Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Now open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Those are the expanded days of operation, giving you wonderful opportunities to step in and get ready for your grilling supplies, like their always popular red lager beer brats. Take a look at the smoked bratwurst. Maybe you're looking at some of the pre-cooked bratwurst they've got available. Whatever you're looking for, they've got it ready for the grill. And check back often, because I'm really impressed with some of the new flavors that are being developed by Bavaria Sausage. Always with respect to the old world traditions, but also adding a new zing to some of our traditional favorites, like Landjagers. Start shopping now, BavariaSausage.com.
I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your midday markets. The overnight action in the corn market was lightly higher, with prices up fractionally this morning. And right now, cash corn is trading at 438 and a quarter, up a half, and new crop corn is trading at 474, up 1 1/4 cents. Cash beans are trading at 1155, down 11 cents, and new crop beans are trading at 1167, down 7 1/2 cents. Cash wheat is trading at 598 and a quarter, up 3 3/4, and new crop wheat is trading at 616, up 3 cents. May Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1816, that's up 38 cents, and June milk is trading at 1818, up 27 cents. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
A high-pressure system continues to sit overhead today, keeping us happy under sunny skies and highs soaring to the mid-60s. Winds begin to get a little feisty tonight as showers and thunderstorms strike us tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 58.
Matt Nair on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
On my next show, the celebration of Earth Week continues. I'm going to be joined by Carrie Schumann, Executive Director of Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Don't miss it.
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Well, we try to. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, Thursday, April 25th, 2024.
Go ahead. For some reason, there's a bad taste in my mouth. I'm not really sure what caused it.
Look. A lot to unpack here. If you're joining us on the other side of that break, carrying this press conference by the Wisconsin State Senate Democratic Committee, and it was billed from the Democratic Committee, right? So, i.e., it was held outside the Capitol, so we knew it was going to be more political in flavor. But the headline from the Wisconsin State Senate Democratic Committee reads, the media advisory reads, Senate Democrats to host press conference in response to latest UW campus closure. So a reasonable person might assume from that, as my former boss, the congressman, liked to say, Todd, never assume, it makes an ass out of you and me. He's so right. We assumed the focus was going to be on the UW system closing the ritual. We know the campus is closed, number one. But the breaking news that we carried for you, courtesy of our local station, Joanne Krulot's news director, WRCE, WRCO, first to report this, that the UW system sent a letter, a two-pager, I have it in front of me, in which they told Richland County that we're breaking off these months long of negotiations. And you say, Todd, well, the campus was closed, so why are they still negotiating? The reason is that under these long term, I believe, I'll stand corrected, but I believe the lease agreement was for 75 years between Richland County and essentially the state of Wisconsin or the UW system. And when these two-year center campuses were created, and the reason that I'm pretty versed in this is because my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, was one of the people writing and negotiating this lease over 50 years ago. She was the first female dean in Wisconsin. At the time, she was the assistant dean when it opened because women weren't allowed to be the dean. The first guy didn't work out, and so they put my grandmother in charge. But she helped write this lease, all right? And so these leases were between the county in which the 2 years were to be built, and the state. And the agreement, in layman's terms, read that the county would own the land and also own the buildings. And they would share the maintenance of said buildings. And the UW system, i.e. the state, would provide the staff, the faculty, the maintenance people, the books, you know, all the other things that go into having a higher education facility. And now that is being broken by the state. Jay Rothman, a year and a half ago, said he was closing down the Richland campus. First, he said it was going to be online. I think most of us who knew anything knew that was essentially a sham. It was. Then he said, no, we're closing the whole thing down. Well, then it became a negotiation between the county government and the state of Wisconsin or the UW system, because the negotiations were, okay, we had a 75-year lease. You, UW system, are breaking that. So now we are going to have to take over these buildings and grounds all on our own, the county. We're already struggling financially in these times as a rural county in southwest Wisconsin. So we're entitled to some kind of compensation. And the state of Wisconsin and the Republicans are making a lot of hay about this, that they got this $2 million in the budget, which Governor Evers signed, to help out communities in which two-year campuses are lost. And it should tell you something that I think it was $10 million that was set aside $2 million for each campus. At the time that was passed, I think we were up to 3 campuses. Now we're up to 5. All right. But Richland and every other community that experienced this tragedy should also say that $2 million does nothing virtually to help us sustain these properties and these buildings while we use people to say, hey, how can we reimagine this? Could it be a cultural arts center? Could it be a different type of learning center? Can we reach out to a tech college? There's all kinds of options, right? But you need a certain amount of money to pay for insurance and utilities and property to keep that going, to open those possibilities. So that was, in layman's terms, the negotiations. So Monday, the UW system sent a letter to Richland County saying, we're closing this down. We're pulling out. We're giving you 2 months to basically get your artifacts and your tchotchkes or whatever out of there. And then we're going to turn the keys over to you. We're going to take the library books that we want, take them to Platteville, going to take whatever tables and chairs we want, and we're going to leave you the skeleton, and you are responsible as of July 1st, and we're not giving you anything for that, for breaking a lease. Well, you might understand that the taxpayers, the Richland County Board, a little hot about that, a little salty. And so that's what the dispute is about. So when the Senate Democrats yesterday said they were going to have a press conference about, quote, Senate Democrats to host a press conference in response to latest UW campus closure, I thought that the focus was going to be on that. And that's why we agreed to carry it live. And again, I will give Senate Democrats some credit for being the only organized group to hold a press conference. But in my opinion, instead of taking the more thoughtful leadership role and talking about what I just talked about and saying, here's how Democrats would like to address this on the whole, not just Richland County, but on the whole, they made it basically a political hit job on Joan Baldwin, the Republican senator that's running for re-election in that area. And my guess is most people in Richland County listening to this are saying, why are Senate Democrats attacking Joan Baldwin when Howard Markline is our senator, who, by the way, deserves all those attacks and more, in my opinion? The reason is that through redistricting, as I think a lot of people know, the Wisconsin Supreme Court have adopted new maps that were originally drawn by Governor Evers, his team. And under the new maps, which I support, Richland County is now going to no longer be in the 17th Senate District. It's going to be in the 14th. Howard Markline's district, the 17th, gets pushed below the Wisconsin River. And Joan Baldwin's expands north of the river, kind of east and west. So the 14th District now includes Richland County, Sauk, a little bit of Juneau, a little bit of Adams, Columbia, and I think a little bit of northern Dane County. She's the one up for re-election this November, so she's running in the 14th, which now includes Richland County, where the UW-Richland campus is at. Howard Markline is not even up for re-election. It's not, remember the state Senate, half of the Senate stands for election every other year. So this year, it's the even districts, the 14th. Howard's is the 17th. All right? Are you following me? I didn't expect to get into all this today, by the way. So the strategy here, apparently by Senate Democrats, is let's take on Joan Baldwin and go after her and blame her for what happened at Richland. When, sure, I'm not saying that anything that we just heard is not true and I don't agree with. It is. But I think a lot of people are going to be confused in Richland County, because my guess is most people still think that Howard Markline is your state senator. I think it would have been more beneficial for Senate Democrats to step forward and talk about higher education on the whole and then say, by the way, here's one of our candidates who wants to advance this.
Even if it's still fully a campaign event, I think that would have been much more effective as a campaign event, because this doesn't make me want to vote for this person. This makes me think, wow, that was slimy.
And that's unfortunate, because I met Sarah Kajewski.
I'm sure she's great.
And I was very impressed with her. She was at Muscogee. She showed up. I think she'd do a great job. And I think what they said in this press conference is true about Senator Ballwig, that she has not been a profile of courage, that she's voted with Republicans in defunding higher education. I mean, one of the most salient things came from Senator Larson in that press conference when he pointed out correctly that the funding, state funding for our UW colleges has gone from 41% down to 18%. And yes, Republicans and my former boss, State Senator Dale Schultz, Republican that represented that area, said at this event the other night that yes, there is an attack going on public education, both K-12 and higher ed, by Republicans. That is true. That's coming from a Republican, former Republican state senator. And so I'm glad that Democrats stepped up and recognized this and gave it some press. I just don't know how effective that was to make it so blatantly partisan. The other question I have is whether Governor Evers agrees with what just happened. As a Democrat, as we talked about yesterday, we haven't heard hardly anything from Governor Evers, except for that he said that, well, let's play it. Mr. Zomers, this is from Governor Evers from a couple of months ago.
I anticipate there will be more two-year campuses closed down. It's going to be painful, though. I think Jay and the Board of Regents are doing the best job possible.
I don't agree with that. I don't think that Jay Rothman, the president of the system, and the Board of Regents are doing the best job possible. And I agree with what Senate Democrats just said, that we need to have more funding, that Republicans have systematically cut funding for higher education with a purpose. That's all true. But it's not just about funding. It's about leadership. And I'd like to hear more. I'd like the governor to do what the Senate Democrats just did. Have a public press conference specifically. And Senator Royce, in her comments just now, she was the only person there that actually really addressed the situation at UW-Richland and the fact that the local elected officials are now going to have to work with local taxpayers to figure out how to be supporting the community. It's not that I disagree with anything they just said. I just think it was a missed opportunity. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark from Perdisac. Mark, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
Yeah, thanks. And I actually live in what's going to be the 14th, and it's currently the 16th because Diane Heffelbein is currently my state senator. And it galled me to no end that I actually got a piece of literature from Joan Ballwing telling me that I'm living in the 14th and she's my state senator. You know, it looks like, for all appearances, that's what it looks like. But she currently is not. And, I mean, then I thought that was just kind of a BS kind of move. I'm currently looking at it right now. I haven't fed it through my shredder yet. and hoping that's what happens to her political career. We get to look down on her political career.
Mark, I get it. I get what you're saying. But you also know that Democrats moving into Republican districts are doing the exact same thing.
Well, I mean, but she is kind of saying that she's currently the candidate, going to be the candidate.
And that's true.
You know, and perhaps I'm better informed on this particular issue. So I was not as put out by her, by what they were doing here or not, because the Democrats have to go on the attack. I mean, for these Republicans, I want it to be like Achilles' comment to Agamemnon in the movie Troy, and not, you know, not physically, but to look down on their dead political careers and smile that. Perhaps that's a little nasty, but I just have no use for currently very many of the Republicans in our state legislature. God bless Dale Schultz for what he did. I mean, the other ones that they've driven out of the party, they've driven the moderates out of the party. Mm. And what gets me is the men like Devin LeMahieu who.
Hang on, Mark. I think a break. Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, we have a minute.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the clock wrong. I apologize, Mark. I thought we were a minute off. You got 45 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Devin LeMay, who spent his educational career going to Christian educational institutions and lies repeatedly. If he doesn't actually lie, he's actually, you know, bending the truth, bearing false witness. As far as I'm concerned, is what it actually says in the Ten Commandments, which is broader than just lying, because you can bend the truth to bear false witness. I mean, that I see there's just very little redeeming qualities.
So the bottom, can we say that the bottom line is that you agreed with the Senate Democrats today? You're okay with that?
I agree with him. Go for the throat.
All right. Like your calls as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Back after this, it's the All Ball Show for a Thursday, April 25th on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Are you making plans to honor Mother Earth? April 22nd is Earth Day, and it's a Wisconsin idea. Our Senator, Gaylord Nelson, created the day in 1970. It was his way of pushing environmental issues onto the national agenda. And many demonstrated in support. It worked. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency formed by December of that year. And today, Nelson's daughter, Tia, continues her dad's efforts. The Earth Day theme this year focuses on the use of plastics. It includes a reminder of the goal for a 60% reduction in the production of plastics by 2040. If you want to find a cleanup or education event to help during Earth Day week, or anytime, check earthday.org. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media, 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Thursday. Mr. Zomer is on the board, answering your phone calls at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it for free on your Apple or Android device. Listening in on WMDX, Mad City Radio here in Madison. Quote, Todd makes good points, but not slimy at all. Rather being aggressive, which is good. Dems are often accused of playing defense. I enjoyed the press conference, unquote. Now, let me just say, I did not use the word slimy.
That was me.
That was Mr. Zomers.
Yes, I own that.
Well, good. I mean that again. It's not that I disagreed with anything they were saying contextually in their. They're telling the truth about. I guess I just have. It was billed one way, saying it was Senate Democrats to host a press conference in response to the latest UW campus closure. Unquote. That was their headline. That's the way they were billing it. I think it would have been more forthright to say Senate Democrats introduce candidate to take on campus issue in Richland Center or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think these semantics things, optics, are super important in politics. Yes, it's a small difference. Well, no, it's not a small difference, actually. Yeah. I take that back. It's a huge difference.
Off the text line as well, listening on WRCE in Richland Center, a texter says, the UW, University of Wisconsin system, is not allowing the community to use their own facility for local purposes. By the way, which is true. We'll get into that in a second.
Oh, you own it. You have to take care of it yourself, but right. Also you can't use it.
Yeah, right. Also, the texter says, by closing these rural campuses, the UW system is dramatically raising tuition for poor rural kids. Now, see, these are the kind of things I wish we would have heard more of today. Because it's true, as Mr. Zomer said, we heard this, I know this firsthand, I know it from other people on the ground, that UW system is not allowing the public to use a public university system in their own community in which they support through local taxes. So that's just egregious, number one. And number two, the texter is right, that by closing these two-year campuses, it's dramatically going to raise tuition for poor rural kids. And I would say not just kids, but students, period. We heard this when Trigvi Olson and I did our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. We heard it in Eau Claire. We heard it in Stevens Point when we were at both of those campuses. That there are so many returning adult students today. People who might, for whatever reason, never quite finish their baccalaureate degree, their two-year degree. Maybe got married, maybe didn't, had kids, maybe didn't. life happened. And at 30, 40, 50, they said, you know what? If I combine my life experience, people want to hire me. But a lot of companies say a 4-year degree is required. And if you're applying for a government job, including state jobs, if they advertise for a 4-year degree minimum, they legally cannot hire you without that. Even though you might have all the life experience, they say, we want to hire you. You're exactly what we need. But if they hire you and you don't have that 4-year degree, the state, can be sued because they hired someone for less than what they advertised for in terms of requirements. So a lot of people say, well, you know, it's not going to make me any better at my vocation, but I need that piece of paper in order to qualify for a higher paying job. So they go back to school. Well, it's a lot closer to finish those 2 or 4-year degrees at a local institution than it is to drive an hour, hour and a half, or 2 hours. So that's what a lot of this is about. Also off the text line, listening on WRCE in Richland Center, say when will more people understand that most issues are the fault of politicians and their political extremes? I would venture to guess that the majority of people actually crave more unity and working together to accomplish something positive. Politics are ruining our country and tearing people apart, and that's unfortunate. It's all for the sake of not giving any sort of win to the other side. People, we need to turn down the political thermostat and try working together to find common ground. There, I said it, unquote. I agree. I agree with that texter. And that's something that, you know, again, if you travel around the state and you go and have a beer and cheese curd of people at the local bar like we did at the Phoenix and Richland Center, like we did at Dooley's and Eau Claire, all around the state, and just listen. That texter from Richland Center is right. Travy and I never heard on our tour, geez, I wish people would be more extreme. Geez, I wish we could be more divisive. Why don't we have more winner-take-all politicians? We never heard that once. You know what we heard? I wish you guys would talk more about the Brewers or the Packers. I wish we could find ways to work together. Why don't we have politicians that want to reach across the aisle and get something done? That's what we heard. That's what people were telling us. And that's why I'm so hopeful about November, quite frankly. We talked about it earlier this week. Joe Biden is a kind of person who's not always out there punching people in the nose politically. He worked behind the scenes with Mike Johnson, and he got Ukrainian aid and Israeli aid and Taiwan aid done. And give credit to Mike Johnson for reaching across and working with Democrats and Hakeem Jeffries and Joe Biden. I think the texter is absolutely right. Rob and Richland Center, we thank you for that. Because I think you're absolutely right. And that's why I think that Trump and Trumpism is going to dwindle as we get closer to the election. Because I think people are going to look at Joe Biden and say, you know what? That's what we need. We need an adult in the room. At least I'm hopeful for that. Mr. Somers, I don't know. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm also pretty hopeful about that.
Also off the text line, WMDX, seriously, quote, seriously, who are the extremists? They are not on the left. It's always the Democrats reaching across the aisle, unquote. I disagree with that. I'm not going to go into it right now, but to say there's not extremism on both sides is just not true.
Right now, let's be real, though. Extremism on the left is far less common and less actively harmful and violent currently.
I think it's less widespread, put it that way. There's not a national movement on the left there is on the right.
I would say at Trumpism. This point, extremism on the left is not an issue we have to worry about right now.
No, as far as taking over the country, no.
Right, exactly.
Last time I checked, Joe Biden was not an extremist. Donald Trump was. Speaking of the Trumpster, great piece we're going to bring you next to what's happening in court out in D.C. at the Supremes. Don't go away. Stay with us. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
93.5 The Tap. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach. Coming up on the show, we'll do some recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, then all things entertainment with Matt Miller. Make sure you join us.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever there'd be like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.